Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Uncensored Podcast. Today I'm joined with Dane Morrow and Jake Schweitzer. And today we're just going to talk about baseball and what their futures look like. So I'm going to start with Jake, who's been on here before. So Jake, what would you say? You pitched for the 2021 team that won state, and you pitched for this team that made a deep run. What would you say was the biggest difference between this team and that 2021 team?
I would say, for me, it was more fun for me because a lot of the guys I were playing every day I was really close with. 2021, I was a little freshman, so I wasn't really close with all my team, or as close with all those guys. But this year, you know, playing with him, Kyle, Evan, every single game, it meant a lot more because we were all so close and had been building to that one goal for 4 years. So. Mm-hmm.
And then, so obviously, Gray was a freshman who kind of like you came along and started pitching in bigger and bigger games throughout the season. What was it like seeing him and helping kind of build him up and be a leader for him since he was kind of in your shoes as a freshman?
It was cool. Coach Arnold talked a lot to me about that because he was in like a weirdly identical situation as me when I was a freshman. So it was easy for him to relate to me and easy for me to help him out whenever he needed me. So.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say was your favorite game that you pitched in and why?
This season?
Or just overall, what game of this season?
That's a tough question. I would say probably getting the last out of the Santos game in the region was probably up there for me. I only threw like 7 pitches. It was still a pretty cool moment.
Yeah. And then so obviously you're going to Louisville after you're continuing your career. What stuck out about Louisville compared to other schools that reached out to you?
Main thing about UofL was I wanted my family to be able to come watch me play. That was the main reason. And then, I mean, obviously they're a historically good program. The past 10 years they've done really well. And the coaching staff's second to none in the country. They've gone through a little bit of a struggle recently, but hopefully whenever we get there, we can turn it around. So that's the plan.
Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, you played with Coach Arnold on the varsity for 4 years. What was something that he like taught you, or that you learned that you're gonna like that's gonna stick with you as you continue to move along with your baseball career?
There's a lot that he's taught me. My favorite thing about Coach Arnold is he's obviously baseball, but he teaches you a lot of life lessons through the game of baseball. So, I would say just. The way that he relates life to baseball has helped me see things in a perspective that I can understand a lot better in a lot of different situations. So I don't really have one answer that he's taught me like that sticks out to me. It's more of just a collective, things that he's taught me through baseball.
Mm-hmm. And it's like younger kids, obviously, that want to try and get recruited and play the next level like you. What would you say is the biggest thing that they need to work on to make them appealing to other college coaches?
That's tough. I would say just control what you can control. I mean, some people got it, God-given, and they're just good at what they do, and some people have to work a little harder for it. But I would say just hustling out when you just doing every – just playing the game the right way, running everything out, hustling on and off the field and all that good stuff, and just – I would say that probably helps you stick out the most to a coach.
Mm-hmm. And this one's for both of you now. So obviously what Coach David Troutman had passed away earlier this year, he was obviously a very big influence among everyone in the Trinity baseball program. What was the biggest thing that he left that is going to make the biggest impact on you guys or just on the team as a whole?
That's tough. I would say just the way that he approached every single day as, like, a person. I mean, he obviously he was coming to practice every day that he did not have to come to. I mean, he was literally fighting for his life every single day that he was coming out and spending time with us. So I would say just the fact that he wanted to be out there knowing what he was going through is just like so, it just, we're so lucky to have someone like him. And I think it taught all of us that, you know, you can't take anything for granted. And once, if one of us were to be in those shoes, in his shoes, I mean, I don't know if I'd be rolling out of bed every day coming to the baseball field if I'm fighting for my life. But he loved us that much, and he loved Trinity Baseball and all the other coaches that much to where literally when he was on his deathbed, he was still coming to help us out. So I would say just not taking anything for granted and just enjoying every day.
Yeah, so I would say he had a phrase he used to say. He said, take what you want, don't get what you get. And that was like kind of the way that he lived his life. And he really, he put that on us and challenged us to make that our personal motto and the way that we went about our business during the year. And just like the energy and the passion and just the emotion that like he brought every day, whether he was, you know, feeling great and it was 75 degrees out or it's 35 degrees and he hasn't eaten solid food in 3 days and he's out there really struggling, you know, like he was never going to let anybody know that. And he was always going to do everything he could to be with us and to make us into the best players and the most prepared that he could.
So then, Dane, this is for you now. What made this team so connected and so tight-knit? Because obviously Coach Troutman kind of added to that, just making you all want to like push yourselves even further to try and get it done. But what made this group overall just so connected?
Yeah, so like something that you'll learn is every team kind of has to find its own identity. And like our state championship football team had a totally different identity than this baseball team did. But I thought, like some teams you'll be on, they'll never really find their identities. To be honest, last year, I'm not sure we found our identity, on the baseball field. But, this year we had a lot of really talented seniors and we had a lot of really talented freshmen. So, we had to find a way to be leaders, but without kind of forcing the stuff that we've learned on those kids and also letting them figure it out on their own. And I thought we as seniors did a good job of that, and I think the younger kids really appreciated the way that we all kind of we didn't try to grade check them, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. And then so, well, obviously you said that football found an identity, then baseball found an identity. What was the biggest difference between those two teams? Because obviously you played a very big role on both of those teams. Mm-hmm. So what would you say was the biggest difference between football and the baseball team?
Yeah, well, I think football, we had to grind it out a lot more. We were not the most talented team in the state. We were not the favorites in a lot of the games that we went to. We had kids constantly that were much better athletes than we were, but we had to go in and we had to put everything we could into our film and our pre-practice stuff, all our preparation. That was the huge focus for us, where baseball, we were by far the most talented team in the state. We had, I think, 6 different D1 commits, like 5 of those guys going to Power 5 schools. We were super talented. We had all the guys around the state. There was nobody that if you line the rosters up next to each other, were going to compare to us. But we had to find a way, because when you have a roster like that, everybody's going to be good for you. We were the top dogs. Everybody knew that. So we had to find a way to come out on a Tuesday after you just had a tough math test and you're playing some Mercer County team who's got a sneaky lefty who's up to 86 or 87 and ends up being a region player of the year, and you got to find a way to beat that kid.
Yeah.
Even if you just saw 3 more 90 mile an hour arms the days leading up to those.
That's what's so hard about baseball. It's like, you can have the most talented team like you all do, but it's like, you have one team with a pitcher that can throw 95 or just is a really good pitcher. It's committed somewhere, and they just, that's their day, and then they're just striking everyone out. Like, that's what's about baseball. It's a one-a-day thing, really. It's like, it makes it so one of the hardest sports to win a state championship in. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, you did a lot of different things at Trinity with baseball, football. What would you say was your favorite memory overall 4 years?
That's a tough one. Definitely had a lot of favorites. I would say my favorite memory was probably beating Frederick Douglass in the playoffs to go to Lexington, because they were a team who was much more talented than we were. They had already beat us pretty handedly one time earlier in the year, and that was a tall task for us, because nobody there wanted to go out without winning a ring, and much less even getting to Lexington and playing for one. So just seeing how much those guys cared and how much that one meant to everybody after the game, that was pretty special.
Mm-hmm. And then so, obviously, at the very end, it was your guys' final game. What was kind of the message you relayed to the juniors to become seniors? Like, what message did you relay to them to kind of like, okay, this is your team now, and like, what do you think they have to do to get back and ultimately win the whole thing next year?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think you got to say a whole lot. Like, I think they probably took some from our leadership this year, but then also, like, they're a super talented class too, so it's not going to be like they're going to have to make some drastic changes to get back to the point we got to this year. They're just, they got to do the same thing that we did this year, and then when it comes down to the Friday afternoon in Lexington, they just got to be a little bit more prepared than we were.
Mm-hmm. So this question is going to hit home to you really hard. What does Waffle House mean to you?
Waffle House, wow. You'll have to ask Chandler Newton about that one. But, that used to be the post-game spot after all the football games back my junior year, back when I had Chandler here. So hopefully he's home for the summer now, I'm sure. We'll have to hit that up a few times.
Mm-hmm. Is commissary stew and black coffee top 5 food duo of all time?
Gotta be, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the pregame meal right there.
And so, I just want to talk to you two. Obviously, you two, especially, I saw you at the PRP game. You kind of brought the guys together, and you were kind of giving them, like, a talk. Like, how do you, like, control yourself? Obviously, you get emotional, and, like, because you're losing a game, it's possibly your last one. But then also, how do you just rally the troops to say, okay, we got to get this done, like, right now. Like, this could be it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just something that comes with a little bit of experience and leadership. Like, I played in a lot more games than a lot of those younger guys have, and I have a better feel for probably when we're on and when we're not, and when I can feel that we're not really on and that we need a little bit more intensity, then that's kind of like when somebody like me or Jake or Kyle or Evan will call the guys together and we'll say something and we'll let them know, like, we're not playing to our potential right now, so we need to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. So then, Jake, like, obviously as a pitcher, you have a lot, like, the game kind of relies on you and, like, what you're going to decide to do, like, how you're throwing that day. What do you have to do to prepare mentally before you go out and pitch that big game?
Pitching in a big game, I would say it's hard to prepare for, especially if you're going to go out there, if it's going to be your first time pitching in a big game. Like, for example, my freshman year, I had no idea what to expect going into those games. The only thing that I knew that I was going to have was a good defense behind me and good coaches to put me in the right positions and all that good stuff. But like, the crowd, the adrenaline rush you get, like, it's all that stuff you can't really prepare for. So after I had that experience under my belt, it made this year a lot easier in the bigger games, just because I knew how my body was going to react when the crowd got louder and when the situations got a little bigger. But like I said, just looking back behind me, especially this year, knowing that I got him, Kyle, Evan, all those great players behind me that all they do is just make plays over and over again, it really makes my job a lot easier. All I got to do is just throw it over the plate.
Yeah, which seems easier said than done, but obviously it's not. But so then, what would you say is, like, obviously you play shortstop too. Like, when you get called in from being from shortstop, how long does it take for you to kind of adjust from having to play the field and then kind of having to go pitch?
I would say, honestly, I've came straight out of the game from shortstop into pitching more than most people. That I used to do that a ton playing travel ball growing up. I played with Evan, and his dad used to pull me out of shortstop and put me on the mound all the time. So I'm actually not, that's not something that's like a new feeling to me. So most people, I would say, it might take, just, I guess it just really depends on who you are. But for me, I don't really find it that difficult. I think it's easy for me to kind of get in that zone once I get up on the mound, especially.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Haven't done it for a long time. It makes it pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. So in the college game football, it's like your quarterback and your center, they got to have a chemistry. How does you and your catcher, whether it's subs or your Watkins, how does that chemistry that you two have, like, help you knowing, okay, I'm kind of in the pickle, but I have my catcher there to kind of help me out?
Yeah, I would say catcher and pitcher chemistry is really huge. It's honestly pretty overlooked, I think, in, like, the game of baseball. I feel like people don't really, see that as a big thing. But for me, that's huge. The good thing about Trevor is it's some things that are understood don't need to be said. Like, he knows all of us like the back of his hand. He's not going to, like, come out and brag about it and tell you how much he knows you, all this. But
yeah,
he's going to set up in the right spot for your pitch to do the right thing. And he's going to come out and talk to you when you need someone to be in your ear. He was great for me all year. Early in the year, we were still trying to get on the same page. But it didn't take us long. Once we got on the same page, we didn't look back from there.
Mm-hmm. So then, Dane, you obviously, again, you were a two-sport athlete. Was there ever a time where you wanted to play maybe football in college versus baseball, or was it always baseball?
My sophomore year when I first started out playing football in the summer, and I, like, actually got around the Trinity varsity staff for the first time, I thought for sure that I wanted to play college football. But, like, because we had probably 8 sophomores start that fall. And we were very similar to the 2020 class in that aspect. So, like, I was seeing all those guys go to all those different schools, like Cincinnati and UK and App State and Dayton and all those places. And I thought for sure, like, that was going to be a couple years. So I didn't really, I didn't exactly grow like some of those kids did. But there was a time, and there was a time when I thought about trying to not play at an SEC or an ACC school and play at like a mid-major and see if I could play baseball and then also try and walk on to football. But eventually when I decided on Tennessee, that was kind of a dream spot for me, so I couldn't say no to that.
Yeah. Which, thing is, you might not have grown, but that Eastern game, that was scary.
I bet he's still feeling that one.
Yeah. But, like, even, like, they didn't grow. It was, like, just watching on football, the way you were able to, like, move and just, like, see the field, it's, like, it was really cool to see. Because, like, obviously, with baseball, you have to, like, kind of just focus on one area of, like, where the ball is going to go. Mm-hmm. But, like, in football, you have to know, like, as a safety, you got to know, okay, where is he going? Like, where's you're like the quarterback of the defense, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what would you say the biggest difference between, like, Coach Cobb and Coach Arnold was? Because obviously they run different systems of, like, or, like, disciplinary things, like, what they like to do.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely comparable. Like, They're both pretty no-nonsense. They run a super tight program. Both of them are excellent head coaches and have maybe Coach Cobb not so much just because he's just starting out. But, I mean, he's already got a state championship and he's only been in the top spot for 3 years. That's a pretty good reputation right there. And Coach Arnold's, the program is on the come up and now is basically the spot to be in the state for any player.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not I don't know that there's one particular difference. I will say, hopefully Coach Arnold doesn't listen to this, but I would say that Coach Cobb has a little bit better sense of humor than Coach Arnold does. But, yeah, they're both excellent coaches, very no-nonsense, and they both care a lot about you, too. They really both care about their players, and that's something as a player you want for sure. So.
Mm-hmm. Because Coach Parrish was actually my sub a couple of times, so it seems like that's one humorous coach that you guys have around you.
Yeah. Coach Parrish was a cool guy. Coach Bruner's cool. We had, for football and baseball, we had a really good, really fun coaching staff. It's the mood in the locker room was always very low-key. Like, everybody's just kind of hanging out, laughing, joking, and we knew how to get to business when we needed to,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it was never like nobody was ever afraid to say anything in there.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, Coach Cobb for his first 2 years, it fell short a little bit of like what Trinity was since Beatty had left,
mm-hmm.
and then going into your senior year, we had just gotten beat by Mayo. How much did you all want to get done for Coach Cobb? And then how much did that St. X win, beating them as bad as you did, how did that kind of just rejuvenate the team?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's important to address that, like, people forget our sophomore year, Coach Cobb's first year, we lost to the best male team that was here in my 4 years and probably one of the best male teams in recent history in the state semifinals. So, like, we were pretty dang close, and for that first year taking over a program, he had done a pretty good job there. Last year we had a path, we just we blew it against Bryan Station. That was a game we should have won, and we just couldn't get it done. But this year the St. X win was a big win for us. But I think more so it was about that time, not even the win as much as we just started to see some of our guys that we had been waiting on to click kind of get to that point. Like, I know a lot of people had some difficult starts to the season, and it felt like that was about the time. That game, the Carmel game, that was about the time that everybody kind of got it going. And after that X game, you could tell that everybody was going about their business a little bit differently now.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, you played with a freshman quarterback and a freshman pitcher this year. What was that kind of like, having someone, like, be 3 years younger than you almost, but then they were kind of like the leader of the team in some aspects where they got to kind of rally the guys that are a lot older than them?
Yeah. Well, so, from the offensive defense on football, there's not a ton of interaction, so I didn't spend a lot of time around Zane. But with him, the only thing I would say is, like, look, he's there for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches trust him, so I trust him. And I know our football senior class was extremely tight, and I have some of my best friends for life played offense standing right next to him all game. So I trusted that those guys would step in, and they can calm him down if they need to, and they can show him the ropes. And if Zane's got the guys like Sasser and Clint and Matthew, if he's got them back there with him, then there's nothing to be worried about. And with Gray, like, I thought Gray was really mature. He did a great job. There was just some stuff in terms of, like, he's pretty emotional, and I know, like, me and Jake had, when he started pitching towards the end of the year in the bigger games, like the region game and some of the state games, we spent a lot of time just going up to the mound and calming him down. But I mean, he's a super talented player, he's a mature kid, and there's not like a whole lot that needed to be said to him.
Yeah, because I think it was the same next game I saw a couple times where it was like he'd look over to you and you would like kind of reassure him, like, hey, you got this, like, just keep it going. And just like, obviously, he does show a lot of emotion, but I think him showing that emotion kind of just calms him down a little bit. Yeah. Like, obviously, his adrenaline as a freshman is probably pumping through the roof, so like, he's got to, I think, like, let it out somehow.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the difficult things about it is with a kid like him, he's gonna, like, when he gets worked up, that's, it can be a disaster, but that's also most of the time when he's at his best, and he's gonna be going out and dogging it and competing. So you have to find a fine line between when he's too worked up and you can tell he's about a it's about to be a disaster and he's about to break down, or when you can kind of start to see him get him worked up, but he's also rolling, and you just want to let him go out there and compete.
Yeah, because that makes a lot of sense. Because, like, I was a sophomore when Jaden was a freshman, and Jaden just had, like, loads of pressure on him to try and perform as a freshman. And it's not easy with all that expectations and, like... So then I think another question I have for you is, like, what would you... Or, like, when you have to throw... Like, when you are going to first base most of the time, or, like, you have to go... Like, how good is it to know you have confidence or, like, a chemistry with your other infielders to know that they can make a play, like, when obviously you can make a lot of the harder throws?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's everything. I think Jake can speak on it. Like, when you're a pitcher and you know that you don't have to strike a kid out and you don't have to throw your best pitch, because if he puts a ball in play, it's more likely than not that we're going to catch that ball and we're going to make a play on it, so... I mean, it's, for me, it's like, it's nice to know I have those guys beside me, but I'd say the huge impact there is with the pitchers and, like, our arms, knowing that they can trust those guys behind us.
Mm-hmm. So then now we're going to do something a little different. We're going to flip the rule. You guys get to ask me a couple of questions about just whatever you want to do. All
right. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. My question would be, who is your favorite player you've got to be on the sideline with since you've been managing sports at Trinity, whether it's lacrosse or basketball?
That's a good question.
Because I know you're close with, like, Wickle, obviously does the podcast with you and all those guys, but I was just curious.
My favorite player, I would say Dre. Just because, like, when you're around Dre just brings a certain, like, energy and, like, motto to himself, mm-hmm. where it's like, he's going to fight and fight, even if the ship's going down, he's going to give it his all, and it's like, kind of like Greg, he also shows a lot of emotion, like, when he's playing, just because, like, he's an emotional guy, and it's like, he just really wants to win, like, he's all about winning, mm-hmm. but then it's like, on lacrosse, it's like, you got a guy like Huck Campbell, who's, can be super serious at times, but then also has a funnier side to him, where he's humorous, but then it's like, yeah, I'd say Dre is probably one of the most interesting people to be around because of how high he holds himself, like the standard he holds himself to, and just how bad he just wants it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good answer.
That's a good question. I'd say, so, like, obviously I saw you there, I know you're at a lot of the games, I know I saw you standing up there at the last state game, you were getting pretty worked up, and I know you're like a huge Trinity guy, you know, you bleed green and white. What's your like, I don't even know if favorite is the right word, but like, what was the one game that you came to and we got the win and you were like, that just felt right, and that one, it had an impact on you?
So, first for that baseball game, I brought a noisemaker in, my noisemaker broke, and then I started hitting it against the chair. The thing came off of it, flew somewhere, I don't know where it went.
Oh boy.
And so I just started having to scream.
Yeah.
Because Blue was pissing me off a lot of the time. But then I say my favorite game, because the first two St. X games that we had lost, my freshman and sophomore year, that just pissed me off. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't even play, I would just get so worked up, because I talk a lot of shit to people.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't care, like, if I'm playing or not. But, like, that second game, the third final game, when it was like, okay, we just lost a mail, and then we're going to this game.
Yeah.
People are counting you out. And then it's like, y'all went in there and just delivered that ass kicking to them. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those greatest nights. That after party I went to, one of the greatest nights of my life. Just I felt like a little kid again. Just like so happy because that was like we hadn't done that yet, and it was new. And then just because knowing how much that meant to y'all, and then just finally getting it done in the rivalry, that meant a lot. But then also that Center Grove game. Sophomore year, for me, your junior year, that was another really fun game. Yeah. Just because, like, they were, like, what, 3-time state champs, 30-0, like, record, and we beat them.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, two, honestly, really good questions from...
Yeah, those were, they were both great games.
I got another question.
What's up?
So, for Dane and I, senior class, obviously, the front runner of most Trinity events and most Trinity things was Colin McDonough-Schuster, as you probably know. So my question is your plan to take the reins from Colin and be the face of the Trinity student section?
That's 100% the plan. I already have the football patch and sauce in my car.
There you go.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, like...
I mean, you got a lot of headliners. I mean, you got Whipple, you got a lot of guys.
So if you're not named Mr. Trinity next year, then you consider your
that's gonna be a problem. That's gonna be a problem for the Shammies if I don't get Mr. Trinity. That'd be a problem.
Well, you'd have my vote for sure.
That's good. I just love this school so much. It's like just beginning to even to support you guys. It's like just going to almost every football game and just. Getting to like see y'all go out there and then just the slightest thing just tick me off, and then it's a ticking time bomb before something goes wrong, or I'm yelling at a Sanex first baseman, or I'm yelling at someone, or just I love it so much. It just it's fun. Well, I think that's gonna wrap up this episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Kerr Haas.
Dave Morrow.
Jake Schweitzer.
Thank you for listening.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.